From Eden by Fry, Volume 2, Heart, Chapter 4. Maxell, still here. I wake up to a horrible dream. It's so horrible, I don't want to think about it. It could well be the second most horrible dream I've ever had. And I take issue with horribleness, so I go back to sleep once again, and I don't continue to dream, which I'm glad on. Maxwell knocks on the door and wakes me up. I'm already half awake, but that means I'm also half asleep, and I'm hugging a pillow for comfort. He asks if I'm all right. I am puzzled. He's never been this concerned about me before. He says he's concerned about me. Maybe I made horrible noises in my dream. It's possible. I blink at him and say yes, and I'm about to go back to sleep once again. He says it's nearly half two, which in German means half one, but means nothing to me at the moment because they put the clocks forward last night, and I don't do mornings at the best of times. Maxwell rustles about in my room while I drift back off to sleep. He keeps much of his stuff in my room. It's a bit like having a live-in partner without the partner. It's a bit like a lose-lose situation, the worst of both worlds. The good thing, I suppose, we don't argue. Though he moans at me. Maxwell moans at me about England, for England. Every day he comes back from college, or from the bank, or from the tube, or from the post office, or from the supermarket, or from the park, or from the cafe, or from the pub, or from the pavement, moaning at me. Every day. He is German, so he's used to hyper efficiency. He also lives in Berlin when he's not here, so he's used to an agreeable level of anarchic socialism. Objectively, I agree with him with most of what he complains about. But the complaining itself bugs me every day about everything. That and the fact that he moans at me in German. He makes it sound as if I were responsible. Maybe I am responsible. Maybe my quiet acquiescence to all things British, to all things English, to all things London has made me complicit in bringing about a college that charters an arm and a leg but has embarrassingly poor facilities and a bunch of students who, instead of standing up for their ideas and their rights and their freedoms, do everything they're told, as they're told. And a bank that charges an arm and a leg in fees and makes opening a bank account as much of a deal as if you were asking the emperor of China for a slice of Tibet, and the tube that charges you an arm and a leg but shuts down for weekends at a time, and that runs late because one of their drivers has a bout of the sniffles, and that goes on strike at the whiff of a comma in a staff manual being changed, and that stops running at midnight when half the population is still about town enjoying themselves, and the post office that I can't think of what they might be doing wrong off the top of my head, but I can easily imagine that in Germany they run their post offices in a way that is altogether more well German, and the supermarket that installs machines talk at you instead of employing people who serve you, and a park that is actually pretty much perfect if you ask me, but that if you're German you'll probably nevertheless find something to moan about, and the cafe that I can't, I'm losing my will to live. The pubs close too early, I know, and the trains are a nightmare. Get over it. It's London, this, in it. I can't be doing with this much moaning, and I realize that much as I love him, if Maxwell were my husband, I would have to ask him for a divorce now. That would be terrible. Fortunately, he's only a very good friend, and I can love him even though he moans at me, because I know I don't have to own any of this beyond the level to which I just have to own my share of this culture that so irks him. Better still, much as I love Berlin, and I love Berlin, and I always, always still keep a metaphorical suitcase there, I don't have to move to Berlin with him just because he doesn't like London. I actually think he quite likes London, which also makes me think that maybe moaning is just a default state of his. And so he maybe also moans about Berlin at his girlfriend. Phew. I don't know. And I don't want to speculate because I'm troubled by my horrible dream, which I don't want to think about. And I also don't want to seem ungrateful or ungracious or ungenerous. I don't want to seem or to feel un-anything. I love Maxwell. I've changed his name here, by the way, because I don't want him to get into trouble, nor do I want him to think that I don't love him just because he moaned at me. And I'm grateful to him for being a good, loyal friend, and I graciously accept the gift of insight that even someone you love can get on your nerves to the point where you are quite prepared to wrestle them to the ground and slap them with a very wet fish. And I want to retain and hold on to the generosity of spirit that says, live and let live. Love and let love be and let be. And I realize I am actually moaning about somebody moaning at me, which is a little ironic, and I like little ironies, though I still don't like moaning, which I suppose makes it doubly ironic. And the whole experience reminds me acutely why I so much enjoy being single. I feel tempted to tell George about this, but obviously I don't, because I don't want to prejudice him against Maxwell or against me. And I certainly don't want to tell him about the horrible dream, which he'd bound to want to know more about, the way I know George.